Good morning.
We're going to be talking about the body, which is the church, and it could be referred to this church or Murray Road or the church universal. So a lot of these concepts and ideas can be applied to all of these. We'll start off by considering a definition of the body. The Oxford American Dictionary definition is a group regarded collectively or a collection. So we have multiple things being combined together, considered as one. Ephesians 5:30. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So when we're considering the church, we're considering members that are joined together to be considered as one, being collectively bound together. So those who have obeyed the gospel call from Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, where Peter calls on everyone to repent, to be baptized, they have this common bind together. Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 4, that says we are buried with him in baptism. We are buried with Christ in baptism. The fifth verse of Romans 6, we are united together in the likeness of his death. All of the members are united together. We are bound together through Christ to be considered as a body. All of us members of one body. Just like our physical bodies all came from one cell, our arms, our feet, we all came from one cell. Likewise, our spiritual body, that means here, all came from Christ. As Paul said, we died and we were born again all through Christ. Speaking of Christ, Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of our spiritual body. We talk about sometimes how you need to screw your head on straight, you know, somebody's acting up. Well, the head of our spiritual body is screwed on straight, brothers and sisters. We never have to worry about that. We never have to worry about that. If we look in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 11, we find where it's telling us that the Spirit defines us as members of the body. So it's through Christ that we are bound together, and it's the Spirit that defines us as members and our abilities. So what holds us together after we have been bound through Christ? In Colossians, the third chapter, Paul is telling the brethren there to put on certain things. In the 14th verse of that third chapter in Colossians, he says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13 tells us that out of hope, faith, and love, that love is the greatest. Love holds us together as a body. Like our physical body, the body, our spiritual body, the church, is considered as members. And each member must do its share. My left hand needs to do things, my right hand needs to do certain things in order for me to function. Likewise, our spiritual body, each member has a purpose and must do its share. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let me read the last part of that verse again. By which every part does its share, by every part doing its share, causes, what does it cause? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So that's kind of a definition of the body, or the church, as we see it here in a spiritual sense. And now we'll kind of shift gears to the importance of the body and what it means to us. We just talked about how every part needs to do its share, and one of the reasons is for growth of the body. Think about if we're alone and we are just out by ourselves trying to worship God amongst the rest of the world. It would be difficult, as we consider Job and his circumstances, where he had lost everything, lost his family, lost his possessions, and then his wife told him to curse God and die. So he was sitting around with three of his friends, and we know how good of friends they were. But he was really, really having a rough time because they were coming back at him, coming back at him. He was sure of himself at first, but, you know, he wavered there a little. And he was like, I wish God was here with me so I could tell him, so I could say, what's wrong with me? If Job had had just one other person there with him to help him, help reassure him that, Job, you know what's right, you know what you've done, it would have been a whole lot easier on him. In considering this, Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, I'd like to read verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. All the members here are important to us when we're considering the body, the church, the bride of Christ. All of them are important. As we saw there in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 16, where it talks about the importance of everyone doing its share for the growth of the body. We also see in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 11, we again have where we're told that some are to be evangelists, some are to be preachers, some are to be teachers, and it tells why in verse 12 of Ephesians 4, which reads, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Again, we see the edifying of the body. It is important to have one another because we each see things differently. We each may read a verse and may have a little bit different take that may help us understand it. It doesn't mean that the verse means something different or can mean something different to different people, but maybe the perspective that we're taking at may help us have a better understanding and may allow us to grow as Christians. And this, in effect, will allow us to be better prepared when we're out in the world, when we're handling different difficult situations. The body is important because there's a need for our abilities. And the abilities that we have been given, we must not think that they're not as good as someone else. God has not made one person better than another. One member is not better than another. We're all equal in God's eyes. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 14 through 18. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And I'd like to bring this point out that there in verse 18, that it is God has set us each, and he has given us our abilities as it has pleased him. So if Kirk can lead songs and I can't, then I shouldn't be jealous of Kirk and I may want to desire to lead songs, but I have to remember that God has given me my abilities. I need to be okay with that and do what God has given me the abilities to do. And just because we have been given abilities, that doesn't mean that we can do it without any effort, without any work. Most people are born to be able to walk, to be able to talk, to be able to sing. Now, just because we're given the ability doesn't mean that we have to be trained, that we have to work at walking and talking. We have work that we need to do in our spiritual lives as well. And the main reason, I kind of alluded to it earlier, but the main reason for us to want to keep the body healthy, the need to be a part of the healthy body of Christ, is because the body is the bride of Christ. We find that in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 27. Ephesians 5, 22 through 27. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the point here being that the church is the bride of Christ, and it needs to be presented in that final day without spot and without blemish. We need to have our heads screwed on straight like Christ does. We need to make sure that we are ready for that judgment day and that we have done all that we can for the betterment of the body and for the betterment of ourselves. So keeping the body healthy. Nutritionists today tell us that we not only need to eat well, but we need to exercise. And when we're considering our spiritual lives, we need to consider the exercise that we are getting. If we consider again Ecclesiastes, the two verses where we were talking about two is better than one. Well, if you keep adding, you keep adding, you keep adding, is that still better? There is an idea that economists have of diminishing returns. You add so many and before long you're actually not getting any more work out of the number of people that you're adding. But the idea behind it is there could come a point where our group here got so large that we're not able to exercise enough spiritually. We're not able to give enough sermons to have the time to study. We're not able to go and help somebody when they're moving. You know, there's only so many people that can move a person out of their house before it gets to be, you know, a decrement of work. So it's something for us to consider. I'm not trying to say that we're too large or anything, but it's something that we must keep in mind when we're considering keeping our body healthy. This group that's meeting here, we need to make sure that we're in prime shape. We need to exercise. Not only could it be a detriment in that sense, but also when you get so large, it's hard for the elders to watch over the members. It's part of their responsibility. And when we're talking about elders, you must consider Titus the first chapter, verse 9, where it tells that a requirement of an elder is that he must by sound doctrine can both exhort and convict those who contradict. So those who are out there saying falsities about the Bible, about the church, an elder must be ready and able to come and combat that. And if we go back to our exercise, if we're not getting the exercise we need, those of us who aren't elders, are we ever going to get to that point? Are we ever going to be studied enough in the Bible to be able to go out and combat those people? So it could come in this cycle where the larger we get, the fewer members we have who are actually eligible to become elders. Therefore, we're not in a good position as a body. We're not in a good position as a body. And in Titus 1 and 5, Paul is telling Titus that he left them there so that he could go and appoint elders, because without elders, they were lacking. So there is a need for elders in a body. And as we said, it's difficult for the elders to truly watch over the flock when the numbers get so large. We as members of the body, in order to help keep us healthy, help keep the body healthy, we need to be in touch with one another. We need to know each other's characteristics are and what's going on in each other's lives. Not being nosy, but just being aware, being in touch. It's Galatians the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse 1 of this is telling us to be aware of our brethren and to restore them if they have been overtaken in a fault. We need to be aware of our brethren, what's going on in their lives. Like I said, not being nosy, but being in touch with them. What's going on? And we need to be aware so that we can help them if they're having trouble in some area before it gets too late. I'd like for us to consider gangrene, a disease of the body. The definition of gangrene is the death of an organ or body tissue when the blood supply is cut off. The tissues don't get enough oxygen. They begin to die. If the gangrene is widespread, it may cause generalized shock. The treatment. Treatment depends on the underlying cause. Surgery or amputation often is needed to remove dead tissue. If you had gangrene, would you leave it alone? Would you just let it go? It could cause you to die. Obviously, we're going to get it treated. If our spiritual body is having trouble, we need to address those issues, whatever they be. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 15, we find an example of it. In verse 14, we're clearly to put those members away who do not obey God's word. As with gangrene, there is treatment other than just totally cutting the limb off. You can go and remove just part of the tissue that is bad. And I see that as being going and helping a member, whoever it may be, and going and helping them remove the sin from their life that is causing them to be in error, causing them to bring the body down as a whole, the health of the body. And again, not only the removal of the member, most of the time, is in extreme cases. And by the time it gets to that, it's not necessarily, we shouldn't think of it as the elders, the elders kicked this person out of our congregation. This person has decided for themselves that they don't wish to meet with us. They don't wish to follow what God has set forth. We shouldn't think that the elders are just going kicking people out of our congregation. It's the person has decided for themselves. That's why when we go back, we need to be in touch with each other so that we can kind of head off these things before it gets to that point. We need to make sure that we're doing all that we can. When it's done, when a person is removed from the body in a spiritual sense, it's done first of all for the individual so that they hopefully can realize that they are in the wrong and that they will have a drive in them to want to be back with us here. But also it is for the congregation, because we have seen several places in the New Testament where it talks about leaven, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. One bad apple spoils the whole bunch. That's the effect that that member could have on this body that meets here. The last thing to consider when keeping the body healthy is that the body needs to be unselfish. You think about my hands. They help catch me when I fall. They help feed me. But what for? Is it for itself? Our spiritual body, each of us as members, need to be unselfish in nature. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 13. Wherefore, if food make my brother to stumble, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to stumble. Here Paul talking about the meat that has been offered to idols. And then he's saying, you know, if my brethren are going to have issues with this, I will not eat it. He's not saying, well, I know it's right. I know it's all right. I can eat this food. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not having trouble with it. He's being unselfish and saying, you know, if they're going to have trouble with it, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to make my brother stumble. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. He's saying, you know, I'm a free man, but I have made myself a servant unto all. I will do what it takes for my brother. I will do what it takes. And after we've seen a couple of examples of what Paul has done in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we see where he is instructing those in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. Wherefore encourage each other and build up one another, even as also ye are doing. So again, building each other up when they are down, keeping the body healthy. And clearly, as Paul mentioned again this morning, Christ is our ultimate example of being unselfish, giving his body on the cross for us. And as we kind of apply these thoughts, I'd like for us to consider Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 24, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Just seeing people out here this morning is an encouragement to me. Seeing the members of the body here on a regular basis is encouraging to me. Knowing that they're going to be there. Say you have an issue and you want to talk to them. If they're here all the time, that's encouraging. It's good. It's healthy for the body, for all the members to be here, hearing the same lessons so that we can be of one mind. The preparation that people, the time for the preparation of class, for talks, for whatever it may be, that time that is put in is not for themselves, but it's for the body. they get stuff from it, but the reason they, each of us should put the time in to be able to have a lesson that will be beneficial to the group is for the group, is for the entire body in of itself. And as we said, taking time to acknowledge each other and what they've done. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. If someone does something that kind of hits you right here, you know, sometimes you're sitting out there and somebody just says something just right to where it finally clicks for you, you know, go and tell them. It doesn't have to be a big announcement during services. You could just go up to them and say, you know, I really appreciated your thought. I really appreciated the work you're putting in. Encouraging, brother. It doesn't have to be something that happened in this service either. It's anything in their lives. We need to encourage one another. We need to build each other up whenever we can. And we need to watch out for one another. Be aware when we're slipping away, so that it doesn't come to cutting the member off. None of us want that. As we conclude, I'd like for us to consider 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, verse 13. Kind of capping everything off. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The idea of being a foreigner. If we consider ourselves as Americans, we are foreigners to those who live in China. And those who live in China are foreigners to us. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, prior to being baptized, you are a foreigner to the body, to the church. To the bride of Christ, you are a foreigner. You are a foreigner. And after baptism, Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The opportunity is open to you now to become a member of the body of Christ, to no longer be a foreigner, but to be a member. You've heard the invitation many times. Christ has died for you so that you may be buried with him in baptism and start a life anew. That opportunity is open to you at this time, and if there's anything else that you need to bring forth in front of this group, we ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.